Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined here in the studio with my good friend and co-host today, Elgin David.
Yes, we are here in the building.
That's right. We are here. Who is not here today, who's normally a regular co-host, one of our legacy co-hosts, Peter Leonard.
Yeah, we miss him, man, but unfortunately, he could not be here with us.
Peter Leonard is a magnet to car accidents.
Apparently, so. I didn't know this, Dougie.
Yeah.
You told me about this.
You know, once in a while, a car accident is like the Olympics. Every few years, you're hopefully they're little ones. You know, like a little somebody bangs into your car.
Right.
You know, I think I've had 2 big accidents.
Okay.
Car accidents in my lifetime.
Scary?
Yeah. Like my first one was in high school when I drove my little Chevette and a school bus kind of pulled into my lane. I went in through a median and then onto head on, and I hit a lady head on trying to cut across the other way traffic.
Oh my God!
And one of the old ladies in that car almost died.
Wow!
And my buddy Sean, who was in the car at the time too, he was in the passenger seat. He was all fucked up.
Oh my God!
And my head hit the steering wheel and everything. But this nose has been through a lot, man. It's never been broken.
Really?
My nose is like the Rock of Gibraltar.
That's lucky, man.
It is. Never been smashed into the windshield and the ding.
But that's it doesn't work like it does in the movies. Like they always go on the opposite side of the road and
cut through,
weave in and out. It didn't work out, huh?
No, it didn't work out.
It sucks, man. And your second one?
The second one was on Sunrise Boulevard. So I was working in that area somewhere, and I drove and I was going straight by that. There used to be a Bank Atlantic building where the Sunrise, it goes into the beach.
Okay, yeah.
Right in that area. And trying to go through, and somebody was trying to turn out into the next down the street, and they hit me.
Right,
cars totaled everything.
Damn. Yeah, I've never been in an accident where I was driving.
Right.
Once when I was a passenger, but never while I was driving. That I'll admit to.
Right. I know. I'm trying to think if I've ever been in a car accident with somebody in a car. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But so Peter is out. He got hit. He claims it was the woman's fault.
Okay.
And so he's not with us. Although Elgin came up with a good idea. He thinks we'll call him.
Yeah, I think we should give him a call. Like, segment 2. And just say what's up and give him a little shout out.
We'll check in with him.
Yeah.
And by the way, if anybody knows him on Facebook, message him and tell him we're going to be talking about him. Send him a message. Hey, Peter, we're on Facebook Live.
Yeah. Peter, you should be watching if you're at home chilling anyway.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about your boss things. what's up? Oh, Mike. By the way, Mike, if you're still there, buddy, we're going to go to, what is it? Stage 84 tonight.
Yeah, Marina 84.
Marina 84. So you live out there. My buddy Mike lives around the corner. We're going to be out there tonight, Mike.
Yeah, Marina 84. Come
open
out.
Open mic. Somebody tell Kel Thomas, Dougie and Elgin are coming.
I'll just message Kel. He don't care, though.
Yeah.
Just got to show up and sign up like anybody else, man.
Yeah. And get on there, hopefully before midnight. Anyway, listen, I had a good weekend. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Cool.
Got to work at the Comedy Catch. You're over there. It's a great room to go visit. I had a great time. Worked with Sean Jones. Very funny headliner. It's kind of like Eddie Murphy. Yeah, you know, very Eddie Murphy-like.
Okay.
Very funny showman on stage.
Very funny.
Yeah, we're talking about comedy, and, it was just, it's great to work with people that are good because then you learn.
Right.
Right. You learn from them because, this guy is just joke, constant laughter and strong. But it was a showman, like the looks, the facial expressions, taking everything and putting it all together.
Right. He was, okay, I hear what you're saying.
And displaying it for the audience. And it was great. And, you know, and then I got told, like, you and I were talking because, you know, everybody here knows, I don't know if we ever shared it here, but you were a little down on comedy a little bit.
Well, I mean, not necessarily down on comedy, but I took a little break.
Right.
Because I've been working on other things, but at the same time, yes, I've been, you know, just thinking about things. And this
You had a bad set, which you weren't happy with.
Well, I mean, it happens to everybody.
Right, right. Well, that's why. Yeah, it happens. But you had one, which, and that's the thing, as a comic, when you have a bad set, it's almost like a bad relationship. Some people have a bad relationship. They never have another relationship. They give up. Right? They're like, I'm never going to try that shit again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's when you have a bad set, it's like anything. It's like a bad game. It's like a bad showing. It's a bad, you know, you draw a bad picture.
True.
It could be anything you do is bad. It's what you do with that. Like, oh, I stink. I'm never going to do this again. Or you can say, wow, I can't. I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to get better.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you were away this weekend doing a show.
Right.
I went away this weekend, did a show, and I had a fucking amazing
I bet you got paid a lot more money, though. You got paid a lot more money, I imagine, than I did doing what you do versus what I do.
No.
Yeah?
No. I mean, I'm like I said, like I went out there to do an event, but then I went to Melbourne to do the show with Shannon Hall.
All right.
And that was worth the whole weekend.
Let's talk about our good friend Shannon Hall, my buddy Shannon Hall.
Who, yeah.
He has a new room out there. In that Brevard County, Melbourne area, where he's just taking over things out there compared to that other clown, Larry Silver.
I don't know. Larry
never go,
Silver.
Never go to a Larry Silver show. They're horrible. Well, there's great comics that work there, but he's a horrible.
Who is that?
He's a guy who's been around forever, but he treats comics like assholes, and then he's surprised that people talk bad about him.
Okay.
And you know what? I shouldn't be doing that, but you know what? It's not like he's going to book me ever again, or I'd ever work for him again, so what's the difference?
So you're saying, like, in your eyes, he's earned that?
Yeah, he's earned the role of a dickhead. You know what I mean? And hey, listen, I've said this about I can see people saying that to me, and it's those people that are saying it. Yeah, I've been a dickhead to you because you know what I mean,
right?
And so you can accept that. I don't mind that. But if everybody calls you a dickhead, well,
then you must be a dickhead.
Yeah, you must be, you know, all around dickhead.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you can be a dickhead to somebody. You know, because you just don't like them and they're whatever. Or there's people that are in your circle.
Right, but if you're a dickhead to everybody...
Then you're a dickhead.
Yeah, I just met somebody recently this weekend that was such a dickhead and to everyone. And I just wanted to tell the person, like, because I was like, I don't know you, I don't owe you anything. I wanted to just tell you, you're a fucking dick.
Yeah.
You know, just to say, you know you're a fucking dick, the way you talk to people?
Yeah.
The way you treat people?
Right.
Like, you're a dick, and I don't think anyone ever tells you.
But then they think you're a dick for telling them that.
Absolutely. So I didn't say anything.
By the way,
I played it cool.
Bill Alcock agrees with me. Says Larry Silver is a douche. I imagine Bill, owner of Winter Circle in Lakeland, great place, some of the best chicken wings you've ever eaten. I love the tip. Speaking of Willie Q, Willie, if you're still on, buddy, you've eaten a bunch of wings there. Great comedy shows, by the way, every Friday night. He calls him a douche.
Really?
Now... You know, I mean, listen, it's simple. With me, he forgot his checkbook on several occasions.
Well, okay, you know you're going to have to pay people.
Right. You know,
that's like, the one thing you should bring.
A booker not bringing his checkbook is the equivalent of a comic showing up without pants on. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, it's just one of the things you just have.
Yeah, unless you're doing a pantsless act.
Unless you're, you know, you're No Pants Billy.
If that's your thing, yeah.
Yeah, if you're No Pants John, you know. Then that's fine.
Right.
But in the meantime, you got to bring a checkbook.
Absolutely. These people are, you know, you said, oh, this is how much you're going to get for the gig.
Right.
Show up this time, do this much time, and you know you're getting paid. And then they show up, I forgot it in my other pants.
Yeah. Oh. And when people tell you that, you look at them, you know, like I when people give me that look, when he started telling me, oh, you know, my checkbook, I look at him like, listen, dude. You know what I mean? It was funny working with Michael Panzeca one time. He says, oh, yeah, Larry, well, maybe we forgot our jokes. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I guess I just have...
I forgot my jokes.
I forgot all my jokes, man.
Yeah, I didn't bring my joke book.
I didn't bring my notebook, matter of fact.
We can do like a seminar on how not to forget your jokes.
By the way, our new listener, Michael Blair, from all the way from Scotland. I was going to think, you know, I always mess up between Scottish and Irish.
Yeah, he said, was my mum Scottish? My mum is not Scottish.
Not even close, dude.
No.
Not, I mean, she may have had some Scottish coffee.
Her name is
Irish
Ruth.
Coffee.
My mom's name is Ruth.
Ruth?
Yeah.
That's a bit Scottish.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look at the dog trying to
maybe
get
she, maybe I don't even know who my real parents are.
Yeah.
Look at the dog getting a little.
What's up, player? My, my boy player.
Player's on the show.
What's up, buddy? He misses me. I've been gone for like 5 days. It's great when you come home, the dog, you know, the unconditional love the dog shows you.
Yeah.
I know. Go back on camera. Don't go up here. It's down here. Go. All right. So where were we?
So we were talking about basically douchebags, people who are
right.
jerks, and then
jerks.
Also it was a lead into Brevard Comedy and how our friend Shannon Hall.
And they got a new room.
Has a new room, Iron Oak Post.
Iron Oak, now what city is this in?
It's in Melbourne.
Great. I could see Larry Silver looking at that right now, you know.
Why is that?
No, because Larry, that's his area.
Oh, he's like, in Melbourne also.
Yeah, he has.
So Shannon is like a viable competition for him.
And if you're a comic and you're working for Larry, and listen, in all due respect, Larry was one of the first guys after I busted my ass to get, but Larry was one of the first guys who really featured me. So I was, that's one of the things where I was respected about him, like a Jackie Knight in Jackie Knight's Comedy Club in St. Augustine, of course, in Bonkers. Between Bonkers and those three rooms, my early stages of comedy was working maybe in the first like 3 year, 4 year, my third and fourth year, fifth year, I was basically doing like 20, 15 weekends a year.
That's great.
Featuring, doing 25-minute sets, not 5-minute, 10-minute spots.
No, that's great.
So that was the building block. So, in all respect, I always do that. But, this is interesting because when it comes to now whether I'm a dick for saying that.
Right.
Like, I can imagine Larry Silver saying to me, I gave you a start when nobody, now you're being a dick to me. And I can definitely respect that point of view.
Absolutely.
Because I actually feel bad about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel like you should have some kind of remorse for saying these things?
No. That's the thing.
He's earned that.
Yeah, because listen, if something happened, just because, giving somebody a shot doesn't give you a pass from being a dickhead. You can't, you can't like be like, give somebody, do something nice for somebody. And unless you like save their life.
If I let you borrow $5, that doesn't give me the right to be a dick to you.
Right.
Because I'm holding that $5 over your head. I'm just saying, generally speaking. But yeah, because I gave you time in the beginning of your career.
But, I always respected that. That's why I, if anything, would that helped me tolerate a lot of the things that were happening,
Right.
And, the things that I would be more tolerant of because of that.
Of course.
But then it gets to a point where you're like, again, the second time you forgot your checkbook. And then it was like, then you're waiting 2 weeks for the check. And then he blames his wife. Oh, my wife is you got to talk to my. What do you mean? I'm not going to talk to your wife over a check you should have given me 2 weeks ago because you forgot.
Right.
So those are the things that you go, well, forget about the past. Let's just be in the present. And this guy's an asshole. And you know what? Yeah, as a comic, you got to make decisions. Sometimes you got to speak up for yourself. And I'll give you an example on a much different level as a comic, which I find interesting is, a lot of times as a feature. You're not like the star act, so you're not going to get like the Hilton.
So the accommodations are less.
Sometimes everybody knows about the comedy condos. We've spoken about them on the show before, but there's a wide array of comedy condos. And you know what? I'm thinking about putting a list together once I've been traveling more of the worst, the top 10, and the top worst. The bottom 10 comedy condos there.
So for people who are on the road, there's comedy clubs, and then the club owns a condo, and they put you in there. And some have different amenities, is what you're saying?
Right.
Some are well-kept, some are shitty.
Right. I'll tell you right now, there's a wide array of comedy condos. Where I'm going, I'm going to be in Little Rock. Well, I haven't been to Little Rock yet, but I was in Looney Bin in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And you get to stay. It's like a house. It's like a four-bedroom house, like a nice house, front door, backyard, barbecue.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's an ironing board. I mean, There's all the stuff you need to live. All you got to do is go to the store.
And get what you need.
Get supplies.
So the headliner gets to stay there.
The headliner, sometimes you share it, or if they're a big-time headliner, they probably get a hotel near the club somewhere.
But I'm saying, is it something that you would share with like a feature act as well? They'd live in the house with you?
Yeah, there's three bedrooms. So it's like, you're not like staying in like a one efficiency where somebody's on the couch and somebody else has got to pull out a shitty cot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like you get the house and then the feature act gets the fucking shed out in the back.
Right, the guest room. Listen, if a comedy condo is a guest room. So, but they in Oklahoma is a nice house, so you don't mind that. It's a great place. Infamous story at the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls. That place, you know, especially there in the winter, they got gas heating, and at night, nothing better than just smelling gas fumes.
Mm, delicious.
Yeah, it's really it's really assuring when you're about to go to bed.
Is there any one that you stayed in that was gross in a way, like bugs wise, or because bugs gross me out?
Yeah.
So if I went to a place to stay, like even hotels too, and like a roach came out, I would fucking leave.
Yeah, well, I'm a man, so I don't mind a roach.
No, I don't fucking like roaches, man or not man. Yeah. Roaches are fucking gross. I mean, if 100, yeah. Would you go on Fear Factor?
No, I'm not a Fear Factor guy. I'm not going to be saying, stuffing crickets in my fucking face.
I'm not saying eating them, but would you let them run all over you? Hundreds of roaches.
For money, I could do that. I don't mind that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. I'd be freaked
out. I could, whatever.
They're bringing it back, too.
Are they? Oh, that was a terrible show. listen, so anyway, so there are a wide array. Like at that one at the Cuyahoga Falls, to this day, I still have numbness in my fingers for falling asleep on the shitty love seat, which gave me no love.
Oh, what?
I was trying to get comfortable watching TV in the little living room,
okay.
You know, and you know, with the gas heater going, and I'm laying on this little, kind of like trying to get comfortable on a love seat. I'm like, you know, and I ended up falling asleep like this. So I ended up having a pinched nerve in my neck for 6 months.
Can I ask you a question?
And to this day, this hand's still numb. I still have numbness in his fingers from that fucking couch.
Was there a bed?
Yeah, there was a bed, but there was no TV in that bed because I couldn't. So what am I going to do? And like, what are you going to do on a Saturday or on a Thursday afternoon once you fly in, or Friday when you got nothing else to do? What are you going to do? Watch TV until like 12, you know?
Right.
What am I going to do? I can't walk outside. It's 10 degrees. I'm not going to go for a walk. So you got to hang out in the place.
So they should have put the fucking TV in the bedroom.
That's right, damn Duncan it. J. Carolina Comedy Club has a nice green, it's actually a house as well. It's a nice little place.
Do you have a TV in your bedroom?
Yes, I have a nice, you know, 45, you know, at least 50-inch fucking TV. that's the thing. Now, for example, like...
I don't have one in the bedroom.
You don't have a TV in your bedroom?
I don't want a TV in the bedroom.
You're one of those people.
Yeah, I don't want one in there.
No?
I think like, the bedroom is for sleeping and for other things, and I think TV is a distraction.
Well,
takes away from that.
I think that's crazy.
That's not crazy. And also, we have laptops and phones, and we don't need a television in the room.
I've had people say that. I've had, you know, people say they don't ever do that. It's like a nice little way. You know, that's where you go in the room. You know, that's what the iPad's for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You play the iPad, you do other things, but you don't watch TV. Oh, no, I love it, man. I love getting up and laying in bed, you know, especially in the morning. I wake up early. You know, I got to put on the channel, CNBC, watch my Bloomberg or whatever I need to get in touch with things.
I hear you. See,
I'm not
going to
get up and walk all the way outside.
I'd rather do that. That's my point. I'd rather get out of bed so I have to go downstairs to watch TV. I don't know. It's just
maybe it helps the production.
Maybe it does.
So anyway, for example, being in Tennessee, you know, they have, this was interesting, and this is the last time that they're going to lease that building out, but it was actually like an apartment kind of built into a commercial piece of property.
Okay.
Where the club used to be. And when you walk in, it's a kind of a sketchy neighborhood. And by the way, Willie Q says, I'd rather get out of bed to go surf. We get it, buddy. You're a surfer. yeah, you know what I mean?
We get it.
I get it. You're like fucking
You change
surfer.
Your name to just Willie Surfer.
Yeah.
We know.
So messed up, I can't even like the comment. So
I like it.
So it's a shady, the neighborhood's a little sketchy. And we got to park. We got to park
right
across the street, parallel park on the other side of this little shop, this little strip area of shitty places. And that street is where a tunnel comes out.
Oh,
so it's like
Lord.
It's like a street. So
the Warriors at any moment can just come walking out of the fucking tunnel
every day. Like so like now I got to press now to cross. You can't just cross the street; you could die. It's basically almost six lanes.
Oh my God!
You know what I mean? Three lanes. You know what I'm saying? And you have that light where you press the button. You know, right there where you park, you know, at least there's always a parking spot. But there was this barber shop, you know, black guy barber shop.
Okay.
There was a black, again, I don't know, a black neighborhood. I only saw the people there, but the people there were black. So I'm assuming it was a black neighborhood. And, you know, again, and so I'm coming out. You got to get out of the car. You park across the street. You walk a little bit there, and then right in front of the barber shop, you got to press the thing to cross the street. You press the button, so all this traffic stops, which, you know what? It's not a lot of fun when you're sitting there. And, you know, you got all the shit, and you're basically standing there, and all these people stop. They just got out of a tunnel, and they're ready to go places, and you're fucking walking across the street, and they're like, this is the guy that just stopped us from, you know what I mean? It's, like, humiliating at times. So one time I went back to the car, and I forgot something. I had to go back. So now my wife's outside because she's, you know, waiting for me. I go back. Now the people in the barbershop are getting worried. They don't know if I'm a snoop or something. You know, so now another guy shows up, and they're standing on corners, and, know, you pick up on this, like, what's going on? So now you know something's going on in the barbershop. No windows. You couldn't open the windows in the place. Inside's nice. Nice bathroom, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a comedy condo, you want a nice bathroom.
Well, if anything should be nice, it's two things. The bed and the bathroom.
Bed's comfy, not enough pillows. There's never enough pillows in a comedy condo.
Were the sheets clean? I think that's more important.
Well, there was a sheet over the bed. There wasn't like another sheet. It was just the cover sheet.
There was no fitted.
No, no fitted sheet, and just a like a, you know, like a sleeping bag type, you know, quilt.
Did they have like linens in the closets? Like set it up yourself.
We had one washcloth, one towel, my wife and I. So you know, what the funny part was, my wife got to see what comedy's. You know what I mean? Like, you're not always staying in a hotel.
She got to see the dark side of comedy. It's not all fun and games.
That's right. She got to see, you know, what it's like to be, you know. What it's like. RJ Walker, my iPad has wings. Don't know what that means, but I never really understand much of what comes out of RJ's mouth at times.
I don't know if he knows what he's
talking
about.
I don't think
about,
he knows either.
But I love RJ.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah.
Liverkick.
Liverkick.
By the way, it's Tuesday. Elgin and I are going to be going to Marina 84.
Yeah, why not?
It's open Tuesday. Mic. It's Tuesday
Let's go
night.
Hit it up.
Fort Lauderdale, if you want to come around. I'm going to go out there. I got some new jokes and new things I'm working on, right?
Yeah, and I'm just going to go and talk for a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to do that. And we're going to go, we're going to take a break real quick here on Facebook Live as well as the show. And we're going to come back to segment two, which we are going to now name things you should know.
Things you should know.
So we take this segment to things you should really know about happening in the world. And then, of course, our last segment, which is straight from the headlines. A lot of stupid stories that we had a lot of fun with. Can't believe, you know, it's not hard to find retarded, terrible stories.
It's like, not hard to find crazy stuff going on in the world.
See you later, Willie Q, by the way. Go, you bet you're going surfing. And Jackie Knight from Jackie Knight's Comedy Club.
Nice. What's up, Jackie?
And we're going to take a break, but we'll be back with segment two right after this.
Hey, this is Jose Sardui, and you are listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Or as my dad would say, this is Jose Sardui, and you listening to the Wake Up with Dougie late show. He wake up late. Is he lazy? I don't understand. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
She missed the train to Mars. She's out back counting stars. She thinks she missed the train to Mars. She's out back counting stars.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Elgin David.
That was all for one little note.
That's it. Just love that little part.
All that build up? Well, okay.
That's Stars from Hum. Great tune. Get it on iTunes like I did. I paid for it. So you pay for your music?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
I just bought a few albums on iTunes.
I remember when somebody told me about that one original one where you download music for free.
But it's not the same quality when you
download
it free.
It's never the same, but you always download these viruses and malwares.
Yes, and
you lose your computer from getting all that free music.
It's not worth it.
It's not that free. Just saying. Anything in life that they say is free is never free.
True story.
Right?
I mean,
by the way, if you missed it, the beginning part of the show, we were talking about, being a dickhead, you know, a little in comedy condos, right? the most important thing about me when I do a show is being close to the venue. Like, by the way, Bill Alcock's on the show at Winter Circle. You basically can walk from the hotel to the show.
Right.
Which is great if you've been drinking at the show. And, by the one time I got so drunk one night that Bill stole my wife's truck, the owner of Winter Circle. Like, I had left my bag at the club.
Yeah.
And I went back. I don't know what I was doing. I can't remember. It was kind of hazy.
Okay.
And I had one of those. My wife's truck was an Acura MDX, real nice SUV.
Right.
And he, based on, took the keys from the bag, found out what car it was, and moved the car.
So that you wouldn't drive away.
Like, well, when I came out, I thought my car was gone when I came out of my hotel because it wasn't parked.
Well, why'd he move it? He did that to confuse you? Was it a prank? Or did he do it?
Yeah, like somebody stole the car.
Did he want you not to drive away drunk?
Oh, I don't know if he cared. I was going to...
So it was a prank. So he pranked you.
Yeah, he pranked me. He wasn't trying to save my life because I was going to walk home either way. Okay. I don't even remember where the car was if he's still on there.
That's funny.
You know?
That's a good prank.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are dicks sometimes.
Yeah. And you know what? And like you said, sometimes you want to call these people out. Listen, that's my... If something's happening, I'm not the kind of... You know, I'm learning to be more like whatever... Let's say it has nothing to do with me, or you know what I mean? I'm not going to be part of it. But if it does interfere, or like more, I think you have to do something like that when you're going to be around those people on a regular basis.
Yeah, you got to nip it in the bud immediately and let them know where you stand as a person. I don't be like, I don't play that shit.
Yeah.
Or else they're going to continue to do it.
Like there's a local open mic comic, you know.
Okay.
What's his name? Kevin Javier. But you know, I don't care. But you know, I mean, he's. I sit on the show. What's happened and stuff like that.
I haven't heard what happened.
Oh, you didn't hear what happened?
No.
No, you know, Kevin's. I always thought he was a nice kid. It's at open mics. I would try to, you know, give him some advice here and there.
Oh,
give
boy.
Him tag and stuff.
What happened?
But the night of the roast, when I destroyed Kevin Perry in the burnt toast roast.
Okay. Right, the burnt toast battle.
Right. I'm in the bathroom pissing.
Uh huh.
And Kevin's talking with people. And he's like, oh boy, I sure as hell couldn't vote for Dougie Almeida. Right.
And Why not, though?
Well, I don't know. After kissing my ass for trying to get at the Tavolinos and bugging me. And then again, you know, like, I've never been mean to the kid at that point. That's the thing. I always been helpful. You know, I see him, you know, like, hey, man, try this tag or give him advice, you know, try to help the guy.
Okay.
So I'd walked up to him.
So you spoke to him on the spot. You confronted him about it.
Well, he wasn't outside when I walked out of the bathroom, uh-huh. But I'd seen him. And I go, hey, by the way, dude, don't ever ask me again for a spot. Just like, just don't ever fucking ask me for a spot at Tavolino's again.
Okay.
And I talked about it here and then. I walked up to him one time, several weeks, months, whatever later. I said, hey, dude, you know why I said that to you? Yeah, I heard it on your show. I go, okay, good. Then you just want to make sure you're aware of why I'm not saying
hi. And then what happened?
Hi.
Are you guys still like that cool? Or
every once in a while, hey, what's up? But I'm not, you know.
Okay.
That's the thing. It's not like I matter. It's not like he pissed me off or did something, you know. It's like, you know, it's not like somebody, listen, I get mad at people that try to fuck you. Like, you know, who am I mad at? I'm mad at guys like Randy Singer from the Black Box. Why? Because he's purposely trying to pit. He's vindictive and he's a heartless
and obviously,
guy.
And obviously you're going to get mad if you heard someone talking shit about you.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's going to talk shit.
Why
you
wouldn't
know?
You get mad? Everybody yeah. would.
Right. I mean, you know.
And if I was in the bathroom and I heard Kevin Harvey talking shit about me, I'd be like, bro, are you serious?
Yeah, what the fuck did I ever do to you?
Or anybody for that matter, not just Kevin. I like Kevin, though.
Yeah,
I have no problem with Kevin.
Well, yeah, like I said, up until that point, I thought, you know, he's just, you know, good kid trying to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, but then it was, yeah, you know, that's that moment. You know, you're like, you know, and when it happened, I'm like, you know, fuck, whatever. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm not going to book him. I was thinking about, you know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't even a big deal anyway.
but you felt the need to say
yeah,
something.
Yeah, fuck it,
so.
I did. Sometimes, do you hold grudges? No, I don't, that's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't hold grudges anymore. Like, there's several people in my past that, again, have fucked me over with shit. You're right? Agreed. You know, a guy like Randy Singer, I just don't talk to anymore. I don't work his room, you know what I mean? And if he does, hopefully he doesn't stand close to me. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. There's other people I used to work with that I just don't talk to anymore because there's only so many times you can forgive somebody from being a complete fucking asshole.
Absolutely. Because some people just do not change their
ways.
Some
people just keep being the same way.
Yeah.
Especially if they have drug addictions or alcohol, they're alcoholics, then they lose it.
Or even if they're just like that. If they're known for screwing you over and they continuously do it, they're going to do it again. You have to learn, how many times am I going to keep sticking my hand in the fire?
Exactly. What am I sticking around?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. So those are people now when I see them, I'm like, hey, what's up? That's it. That's all it is. Hey, what's up? It's good. What's up, man?
I acknowledge you.
Yeah, what's up? Like, don't come over here and ask me how I'm doing. Yeah, that's not one of those things. No, I don't give a fuck how you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. So our new segment here on segment two is here's what you need to know. And these are basically things that have happened, you know, that we all know that North Korea is trying to press, you know, Donald Trump and the government here with missile tests and stuff. And there's a new sheriff in town mentality here in the world, global. We all know that. But did you guys know that a guy in Thailand hangs his 11-month-old baby on Facebook Live?
Really?
And then hangs himself because he's pissed at his wife. Yeah.
When did this happen?
Well, see, you didn't know that, did you?
But that is horrible.
Right? Now, this Facebook Live thing, they had that, you know, the one guy got shot, the Facebook Live killer.
And that was unbelievable.
This is, you know.
What a piece of shit that guy was. But this guy, another huge piece of shit. Talk about people being dicks. This guy killed his baby, hung it, and then hung himself.
Right.
Because he was mad at his wife, or his wife was mad at him, whatever.
Well.
Regardless, stupid.
Bangkok, a man in Thailand upset with his wife, hanged their 11-month-old daughter on Facebook Live and then killed himself. Police officer Jirasak Simsak said officers found the bodies of a 20-year-old Wuthien Wongtlai and the baby in an abandoned hotel in Phuket province after receiving reports of the video. Quote, he felt neglected by his wife because they had been fighting. So he took his 11-month-old daughter to the site of the crime, which is the abandoned hotel where the bodies were found. So if you think you were having a bad day.
Well, what do you mean a bad day? That is, there's no coming back from that for that mom. Her life is going to be just forever destroyed.
The mother of the child was crying and very sad, you would think, obviously. Jurassic said, and I'm also very sad. It's a personal dispute, and they were still very young. 20-year-old guy. Bad coping mechanism. You know, like we were talking about having a bad set, a bad something. Sometimes bad things happen.
Right.
Right? And here's the thing. A lot of times, listen, I'm not perfect. I've done stuff where people have been pissed at me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Once you acknowledge, when you know there's things that are wrong, then you'll make amends for it. And you'll not only will you say you're sorry. You just can't say you're sorry to somebody. The really way that you show you're sorry is by changing the stupid attitude.
That's true.
The only way that you don't, I don't like people like, oh, I'm sorry that happened. It was my fault. You know, I was drinking. I'm this. I'm that. Whatever. Great. That fucking great. You know, right? Great. You want to really say you're sorry? Then change. Don't act like the same doof, but you know, dumbass.
I try to avoid apologies, and when I'm saying that, I mean like I try really hard to just like not make those fuck up mistakes that make you feel like a piece of shit person. But some people are so used to doing it that when they say I'm sorry, it just comes across so fake,
right?
Because it doesn't. There's no meaning behind it. They say it, and they're going to continue their actions, and you can feel that on a person.
You think it matters if the guy tried to hang himself and he didn't, and then he told his wife, hey, I'm sorry I killed our 11-month-old daughter. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That is no.
My bad. It's my bad.
My bad.
It's having a bad day. By the way, Willie, you didn't ruin the game, but don't ruin the show. Pick it up on the post on Facebook.
Oh, man.
Who's the scumbag? RJ called somebody a scumbag. Probably this guy, I'd imagine.
I don't know who.
You know, the fact that he killed himself. At least does one good thing. He's not going to procreate anymore. Yeah, you don't want that gene continuing, that loser gene.
Well, we definitely don't want that guy in society.
Now, the real question is, does Facebook have to, you know, is this going to affect this? You know, we have Facebook Live on now. No one's dying here at this point.
Well, I mean, we still have some viewers, so that's good.
we're holding on.
But, yeah, are they going to regulate that?
No, they can't. Live is live.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? But that's the thing. Will this embolden people for more acts on live? And if it keeps happening, eventually they'll have to shut it down.
Oh, they're definitely going to have to shut it because it's going to continue because everyone's getting their little moment of fame,
right?
You know, and some people are willing to take it to that extreme to get that little moment. And it's so easy to do. Back in the day, you know, they used to like you see in the movies, they're like, they send the camera crew.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we're going to broadcast it now. You have it in your fucking hand.
Matt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, remember the old movie? There's TV shows like that. Let's film. What do you mean? Why you got a TV camera? Here's my phone.
Yeah. Send the news crew and this and that. And exactly. Now you can just do it from your fucking pocket any time of the day.
So that's what our segment is. Here's what you need to know. Did you know the guy in Thailand hung his little. Can you imagine hanging a little 11-month old?
No. That's fucking terrible.
Oh, she don't talk to me. I'll show her.
I saw this. Idiot. One of the persons said, yeah, how could you. Yeah, this is a quote. How can he watch his own child stop breathing? True story. How could you do that?
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, we don't know the full story. Maybe it wasn't his kid.
No, it was his kid.
It don't even look like me.
Oh,
how can you tell?
Why was his? Why was he? Not that this justifies anything, but what's the reasoning him and his wife were fighting in the first place?
Yeah, well, she neglected him.
Well, maybe it was a baby out of wedlock.
Right. Yeah, maybe she's out, you know, with the guy who's a sushi chef and he's just a janitor. You know.
Why do the sushi chefs make more than the janitors?
I think the sushi chefs are a little higher on the totem pole in the Asian, you know, work scale.
Right. Where are they from again? Vietnam?
In Thailand.
Or Thailand?
Yeah. Oh.
That sucks.
I mean, I can understand if you find out your wife's got a penis. That's a reason to get upset.
Just hang the penis.
All right. So I guess that's something you didn't know.
That's terrible. You know what? I mean, like, is this one of those segments that's going to be like things I wish I hadn't known?
Well, you don't know, but you need to know. These are things you got to know that are happening.
I mean, it did happen.
Like this story, by the way, a Utah man initially denied lung transplant over pot. Over pot use, dies after complications, family says.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you're like, you can't be an alcoholic and ask for a liver, like be on the first in line for a liver transplant. You would hope not, right?
Right.
But let me read the headline again, because I'm not a professional broadcaster, obviously. Utah man initially denied lung transplant over pot use, dies after complications.
Now I get it.
A Utah man who was initially denied a lung transplant after a hospital found traces of marijuana in his system, and you know that can stay in your system for a long time. In the Pennsylvania hospital that agreed to accept his case, Riley Hansey, 20, was recovering from a double lung transplant at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. Now, you know, if you got bad lungs, I think that'd be a good time to quit pot.
Well, yeah,
it's
but
not supposed
I think,
to affect your lungs.
Wouldn't it be a little too late at that point?
Yeah, he must not have a grinder to clean it out.
Or what the hell is he smoking?
Yeah,
don't they say marijuana is like healthy for you?
Yeah. I mean,
What kind of shit was he smoking?
Yeah, he thought he was smoking pot. He was actually smoking oregano.
It happens.
Was recovering from a double lung transplant at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania, which is a real good place, when he suffered fatal complications. Hansey's difficulties began in December when he was admitted to the University of Utah hospital after contracting pneumonia. He was placed on life support 2 weeks later, but ultimately denied transplant eligibility after tests revealed traces of marijuana. His father, Mark Hansey, said his son smoked marijuana with friends over Thanksgiving. Yeah, I bet the day before and after and the weeks after that as well.
Oh, right before Thanksgiving is the best time. Have you ever done that?
Just before you eat?
Right before. I mean, not right before. You know, you got to kind of let it settle in. Maybe like 15, 20 minutes before you're about to eat. Thanksgiving, man.
Right.
Tear that turkey up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is my favorite meal of the year.
Well, of course.
I love Thanksgiving.
But his father said he wasn't a habitual smoker. Though the hospital would not comment specifically on Hayes' case, a fellow of follow-up statement said that it does not transplant organs in patients with active alcohol, tobacco, or illicit drug use until these issues are addressed. After the thorough search, his family had Hansey transferred to the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania, where he underwent a double lung transplant on March 29th, asked for the continued prayers, and he's recovered procedure on April 22nd. The family announced Hansey's death. So I guess the lungs didn't work.
That sucks.
You know, the real question is, like, if we legalize weed, you know, it's got to get to the point where, again, even if it's legal, you know, could it affect your job? Like, isn't that like you know, if you're in a state that has legal weed, does that mean you can, you know, show up stoned to work?
Well, I would think that there are some jobs that don't want that, obviously.
Right.
So yeah, how does that work in a state that has legal weed?
Yeah, I imagine if you're like a marketing writer or something, you know, or you're
it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but you
they
get
probably
high.
They probably want you to come in that way,
like a film critic.
But they don't want you smoking at work.
Right. You don't
want
to be sitting there. You don't want to be, it'd be probably good if you're like an air traffic controller.
That'd be terrible.
that traffic. You see all that smoke coming out of the traffic control center? That'd be, you know, like, what's going on there, man? Oh, dude, take your time. Take another circle around the airport.
Oh, my God.
All right. We got a couple here. Let's see. We got three stories I've saved that you need to know. I don't know if you guys heard, but the teacher from Tennessee, they caught him.
Which one?
With the 15-year-old student, the guy that's been on the run.
I didn't hear about that guy.
Yeah, come on.
For real.
Or scientists create an artificial womb.
Dude, this I saw.
You saw this?
You talking about with the sheep?
Yes.
I saw this thing. It said, are humans next? I said, well, are you kidding me?
Like, in other words, if you have a premature baby, right?
Uh-huh. So that's the intention.
Well, I don't know. What am I, a doctor now?
I'm saying, what if they start using them to grow humans in fucking Ziploc bags, Dougie?
No, I don't know. I think if... All right, dude, I need you to shoot your love juice into this bag. Drop the egg in there.
And then the baby... Haven't you seen the fucking Matrix, man?
Yeah.
That's how it all begins.
Extremely premature babies could be kept alive in future using a artificial womb that scientists plan to test in humans after a successful study involving unborn lambs. There's a lot of guys out there on the farm that say lambs are just like women. A plastic bag made of... let's see. All right. Come on. A plastic bag filled with artificial amniotic fluid, the nutrient-rich liquids that sustain a fetus in the womb, allowed fetal lambs to develop at an age equivalent to 23 weeks in humans. So can you imagine, like you're saying, so you have a premature baby.
Well, I can understand if there was no other way to get this baby born.
Well, that's what happens when you have a preemie. They're born, that's it. And then they're little. It looks like a little puppy. They're so small. Why, they weigh like 3 pounds, 2.5 pounds?
Okay, well, let me ask you this now. How do you feel about it being used in the sense of, instead of like in vitro fertilization, but into the bag, instead of another human woman? If they say, harvest your eggs, take his sperm, they put it together, they, you know, inject it into the thing.
In other words, a woman doesn't have to carry it or give birth to it.
Correct. How do you feel about that? They pop the Ziploc seal. It turns from green to blue, and then the baby comes out.
It's like a Jiffy Pop.
And that's the
birth. It's like Jiffy Pop popcorn.
And that's the birth of the baby.
You just have the baby. Next thing you know, the kid starts popping up from the tinfoil. Like, hey, let's get the kid. But then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the poor kid, every time he has a sandwich at lunch, he's like, Mama. I feel like calling my mom.
That's hilarious.
Well, there you go. Well, that's a joke we'll probably tell tonight at
that's great.
Marina 84.
That's funny.
But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Elgin David.
Yes, we are here.
And we'll be coming back with our segment called Straight from the Headlines right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Why don't you come out and see a show? You can catch me April 20th and 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st through the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. If you're not, you're probably sleeping, you lazy fucks.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. And you can also pay attention to us on Facebook Live. Our recordings are Mondays and Tuesdays, around 5:30, according to Peter Leonard's boss. And we hope our buddy Peter Leonard gets better, by the way. He's home.
Yeah.
And he hasn't turned us on yet. He's so incapable that he can't even get on his Facebook.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway.
Can't really talk about it right now. We can't disclose any details.
Now, what did RJ say you thought was funny?
He said because we were talking about the Ziploc babies.
Right.
And he said they have a womb with a view.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to bring a callback to the comedy condo thing and say, yeah, unlike my comedy condo, there was no view. At least in the Glad bag.
That's the Ziploc bag. Or Glad bag. Which is better, Ziploc, Glad, or Hefty? Does Hefty make?
Hefty doesn't make little sandwich bags.
Okay, so Glad or Ziploc? Ziploc is
the
one
that. Ziploc's the one that had the original, you know, blue, green, blue, yellow, make green, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And those are the ones you can really feel, you know. Don't you hate when you, like, you ever have roommates and stuff like that? In my case, it's my stepdaughter and wife. Like, sometimes we have, like, cheese. You know, or, like, cold cuts.
Right.
Don't you hate people that just don't properly seal that damn thing?
I hate when they just seal it wrong, or they don't push the air out of the bag.
Right.
When you seal it, that's the main key. You got to take the air out.
Yeah, your deli drawer looks like a Macy's parade.
Yeah, it's all these, and the point is they're gonna get fucked up because there's air in there.
Right.
Isn't that the point?
That's you got to get the air out. That's what causes bacteria. It's like they're blowing it up. Like, you know, you take that. Okay, time to put the cheese away. You know, just like exactly. You know, there's a patented move, by the way. If you ever. You basically take it. I may be a little more helpful since I have this belly here. It's like an ironing board. But I basically, you know, you take the thing, take it to the top, and then, you know, maybe close half of it. Make sure you got a seal. Make sure you got, because once you get that seal together, it's kind of hard to mess it up to keep going.
Right.
Unless it's sometimes these crappy delis give you those sealed that suck. You know, you go halfway, it's like a bad zipper.
Yeah.
Doesn't go all the way. So, you know, you get halfway sealed, and then you take it and pat it, get all the air out, and finish the seal. Roll it. If you roll it and you see there's a pillow there, you got to open it up again and get the air out.
Yep. You know what else bothers me? The way people close cereal boxes.
Yeah.
They just close the flap on top without closing the plastic bag.
Like, there's no air going to come through the top of the cardboard.
It's going to make it fucking stale. Hello.
You got to close that stuff.
Wow.
Lazy bastards.
So yeah, we're venting, folks. Yeah. We're venting.
Just a little venting. Segment, here's a call straight from the headlines. Here's a story. Bottoms up and wallets empty. A bar in Washington, D.C. serves extravagant $1,000 cocktail topped with an entire bottle of Dom Perignon champagne. Now, you got to Google this and see this, because they actually take the whole bottle and then it goes into this big glass. But it's $1,000. That's like, you know, I remember... You know, when you first time you go to South Beach, you go to buy a chick a drink, and she goes, "I'll have a mimosa." And you're like, "Oh, great, $25." Yeah,
I'm looking for the Dom Perignon cocktail.
Says here, and a Washington D.C. area bar is putting other pricey cocktails to shame with its swanky menu addiction. The Blossom Cocktail Lounge at MGM National Harbor in Oxon Hill, Maryland, a 10-mile drive from the White House, is enticing guests of the hotel and casino with its very over-the-top drink, the Dom Arita, as they call it.
This thing is ridiculous. It comes in a fucking, it has a spout.
Like a punch bowl.
It has a spout coming out of the side
right.
of it.
It's like a punch bowl, right? Like a lemonade bowl, and it's got something in there, and it's got the Dom Perignon just bracketed in it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool the way it looks. I mean, it's like a giant goblet.
Right.
The top is open. And then there's a little contraption on top that holds the Dom Perignon bottle upside down. And then on the bottom of the goblet is a fucking spout that you pour, I guess, into smaller cups and serve yourself servings of this $1,000 thing.
Yeah, boy.
Or you can just fucking pour it in your mouth. Like,
that's a bad night for somebody in the group to forget their wallet. Oh, man, sorry. I helped you out with the drink, but I forgot my wallet.
Could you imagine just making that and watching them dump an entire bottle and be like, I just fucked myself.
Yeah. Created by lead bartender Antoni Sazerik, the cocktail is made with Don Julio 1942 tequila and Grand Marnier Quintessence, both very pricey drinks in their own right. They those are mixed with agave nectar, fresh lime juice, and fresh seasonal fruits. It is served in a crystal-etched decanter with a spout for pouring, and a full bottle of Dom is overturned inside of it. As the guests drink from the punch bowl, continues to empty out to refresh the punch. It's a nice drink.
Wait, that's what he said. You should do, like, think about what voice would this guy have?
The bartender?
As the guests drink from the punch, the bottle continues to empty out to refresh the punch. Yes. That's the one I made up in my head.
Is that what yours?
So you're thinking
like a Russian guy?
Yeah, but okay. That's what I heard in my head when you read it.
As the guests drink from the punch, the bottle continues to empty out
to refresh the punch.
When you said drink, it kind of like was like drink. Dracula.
Drink.
As they drink, drink from the punch, the bottle continues to empty out to refresh the punch.
Put away the garlic. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, let's pony up at the bar.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I see. Keep reading. It says.
The idea of the Don Marita came from a tagline of Blossom Cocktail Bar, be the center of attention.
Be the center of attention. We wanted our guests to have the opportunity to turn heads from other guests in the lounge.
And passerby in the casino outside the lounge. It is a, what does he say? It was designed to be a statement piece for high rollers.
Looking to have something fucking different.
Than the standard bottle service.
Yes, with a flair. The fucking flair.
We don't need that stinking bottle service.
Yeah, isn't that crazy when they go to these, like, the champagne rooms, they have the flair.
They put the fucking sparkler thing shooting at the top.
Fourth of July?
It's like, yay. It's just like, let me show everybody how much money I can waste on this overpriced bottle of shitty vodka.
Yeah.
It's always like Absolut. People are buying these $400 bottles of fucking Absolut.
Yeah. Which costs like $15.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's just follow the flair to the asshole who spent $400 on a $20 bottle.
So everyone can see what a douche you are.
Look at this guy. He needs attention. Maybe that's what we should start doing. When you're at a club and these things happen, everybody, you should get like a group of people and just walk over and start clapping. Yay, another asshole.
Just start to slow clap on him.
Yeah. So, hey, I don't know if you knew this, but... pet dog has sex change in a rare operation after vets discover she was a hermaphrodite.
A hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite?
Wait, real quick, by the way, just to go back to that last story.
Yeah.
They have a fucking cheaper version for $130 with like Korbel. They put like a bottle of Korbel in beer.
All that other stuff?
Or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's actually $14 drinks as well.
The popper version. Well, it's good to have the. I mean, it'd be hard to get laid if you're competing with a guy who just spent $1,000 on a drink.
So they send it to you in the same fashion, but it's just cheaper elements. Oh,
it's like
to
a fake
it.
Rolex.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So it looks the same.
Ah, so you can trick your girl to thinking that that's what you got her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting you the Dom Arita, baby, and then it's the Korbel fucking. Ugh. What's worse than Korbel? Because that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, Korbel's pretty bad.
Like Albertson's apple cider.
Costco.
I don't know. Costco,
sparkling
there you go.
Wine. I love my Velvet. The orange bottles, those are great. The French. It's that champagne, unless it's French.
You were talking about a hermaphrodite?
Yeah,
what?
Looks like a Jack Russell, too. Look at this dog. Looks like my dog.
Yeah, it does look like player.
Look at her. Him, whatever. Pet dog has sex change in a rare operation after vets discover she was a hermaphrodite.
This is a joke.
No, it's true. Molly, a Jack Russell who was born with male and female parts and often told to go fuck herself, has made a complete recovery after undergoing a rare gender reassignment surgery. And I understand here that Caitlyn Jenner gave her a call. Mary and Frank Finlay first took their puppy, Molly. Why'd you name it Molly? That's a long story. To the vet when they noticed her unusual toileting behavior.
Okay, so what was happening?
Vet, Glasgow, intersect, she had both male and female gender. This was causing her significant discomfort and abrasions, so she underwent complex operation to improve her quality of life. All the other dogs were making fun of her. Hey, bitch. I mean.
Well, no, the problem was she didn't know which tree to go on, the boy's tree or the girl's tree. And unfortunately, that was an issue.
Yeah, now she's 18 months old. She's made a complete. Now, it doesn't say if they got rid of her balls or. Well, I guess it'd be hard to get rid of the vagina, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm assuming they're saying it was a girl, but had, so they got rid, they most likely got rid of the
castrated
penis.
Yeah, castrated, yeah.
How do they know? I mean, did the dog tell them I'm a girl?
Yeah, the dog's like, listen, I like cooking and combing hair.
I like cooking and combing my hair.
Well, you may want to get checked. Miss Finley added, we've seen no change in her behavior. She's still the same. We Molly, and we wouldn't be without her. She's too precious. Well, if you own a Jack Russell like I do, and you can tell my dog's been going crazy over here. They act completely normal.
Interesting. Where was this at again?
I think it was somewhere in England or something.
In the UK or something.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Molly was defined medically as a male pseudo-hermaphrodite, or more commonly intersexed. Yeah.
I wonder how often that happens. I mean, it must be as rare. I mean,
that's the first time I ever heard that story.
I've never heard anything of that. Like that.
You ever heard an animal being a hermaphrodite?
No, but I heard that kangaroos have three vaginas.
Wow.
That's what I heard. They can have one gestating, a baby in there gestating while one is sitting in the pouch, and they can time it so that when it's ready to come out of the pouch, they can make the other one have another baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder they all know how to box.
Because they have three of them.
Yeah, they got so many kids.
No, three boxes, Dougie.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Vienna bartender appeals fine for public belching and wins. You can get a ticket for belching.
Are you serious?
Now, have you ever been around somebody who just thinks it's okay to belch out loud and just say, excuse me?
I don't like burping, farting. If I have to, I'll go in another room. But burps are more acceptable, obviously,
right,
than farting.
A loud fart will make people look and go, what the hell?
But every once in a while, you drink a nice cold soda or something, let me ask you, you gotta burp.
Right, let me ask you a question. Like, if you're in a room, like 7-8 people all standing around, you know, maybe watching TV or the game or something.
How close are we to those people? If they're your buddies, you can burp.
You're in a room, I'm saying, but if you fart like loud, like brrr, unexpected the fart, you know.
Right.
You know, people are going to be like, what the hell, dude? You know.
Yeah, you don't do that.
But if you burp, you know, I mean, I don't mean like the ones, the burps that kind of catch up on you where you're sitting there and it's like, burp, oh, sorry about that. Anyway, ooh, you know, versus, you know, there's people that just belch. You're like that. And they don't realize that the air that's coming out of them is like this, if you could see it.
Dude, the other day, every time I'm like, who the fuck just ate salami or something? Who had an Italian sub or a hot dog? And it's always my buddy. He always laughs. He's like, oh, sorry, you know.
And people that burp in the car.
Oh, that's the worst.
Like, dude, if you're gonna burp in the car and you're sitting in the front seat, open the window.
You know, it's funny. My girl loves eating garlic. She loves garlic. And whenever she eats these like garlic parmesan wings,
yeah.
And then she'll forget. You know what I mean? We'll be in the car or something. She'll burp, and then she'll go immediately. Oh, sorry. You know what I mean? And it's, even if you roll the windows down, it's inevitable.
Yeah. You know, I have that thing where I've learned to burp inconspicuously.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you like swallow the burp. Like, in other words, like you'll like.
Yeah, I politely burp, and then you blow it out the side.
You try to point it out a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes my wife says, I can still smell it. You know, which, by the way, being in the car with my wife for 13 hours, I can tell you honestly that my farts don't stink.
Okay, to you.
No, they don't. They don't smell at all, because I farted several times on that drive, and she had no idea.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, for one thing, you may have, I don't want to get too technical here, but most of the time it stinks when you have to take a shit, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe
not just like gas from, as opposed to like you got a big load hanging ready chamber.
Well, Bob Saget would say that his dad taught him what farts were, and it's like taking a piece of shit and blowing on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, because that's what it's like. That's what we usually do.
So, but again, in another token, everybody loves their own brand, Dougie.
Right, right.
So to
but
you,
but mine doesn't smell. I'm telling you, she didn't.
Sure.
Like when she did, I knew, and it was so bad, it stays. You know, when somebody farts and stays around, it connects to the molecules. It doesn't go away. It just lingers.
Well, sometimes I mean, it is like particles of shit. I'm sure it sticks to your clothing.
Those are pretty. Says in Vienna.
Did we get too graphic there?
He who burps loudest lasts best, at least in this case, nearly a year after policemen ticketed Edin Mehik for loudly belching next to him. The Vienna bartender has won his appeal. Mehik was fined 70 euros, which is about 75 bucks, for a sonorous post-kebab burp. Ooh, beef kebab burp.
Ugh.
Next to the officer at an amusement park.
Oh, that must have stank.
Now, you know the officer probably only got pissed because he probably burped, like turned his head and burped at him.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's enough to punch somebody. Like, I've been in I remember a concert. And we're sitting there and the guy just turned right in my fucking face. And I just smacked him in the face.
That's one thing that you never really see is like, you know, in a fight where two people are face to face and they spit on them.
Right.
That'd be funny if two people face to face and then no, they burping. Just went like, just burping their face. See what happened. I've never seen that happen in a movie.
Wouldn't that be funny if we videoed that, like two MMA fighters sitting there and they're in a clinch mode and the
or just in that face to face moment.
Yeah.
And just fucking belching.
Take advantage of it. But if you try to draw a burp from nothing, then it's not going to be smelly burp.
But was it one of those situations? Was he like provoking the officer and just in his face? Or did he turn his head, burp, and unfortunately the officer was downwind of this beef brat?
Beef brat. The ticket said he violated public decency with a loud belch next to a police officer, but a court document from the Associated Press on Friday shows authorities have ruled in his favor. It says there was never proof that he burped to the front to affront the officer. That's what I'm saying. Basically, the officer saying he burped on me, like loud, like bah, like saying like if you see a cop, you know, you just look about, you know. His belch resonated in Austria long after it was admitted. Groups organized to support him, and a kebab chain paid for both his ticket and all expenses trip to Istanbul.
Yeah, he actually he burped, "Fuck you, pigs."
That's right.
He burped it. You know how people can burp the alphabet?
Yeah. Now I can burp. I can. Wait.
Oh, that was where was that all episode?
Can you do that? Can you just burp?
I can't do it.
Can't just get a burp?
I can't do it. I've never been able to do it.
Can't just do that?
No. Why is that? I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. How do you do it? You
basically swallow air.
I can't do it. I'll vomit.
Oh boy, that would be a day.
That would be not good for the microphone or us.
Loud sex sounds interrupt a pro tennis match in Florida.
This is hilarious.
Now, you know, a lot of times you have groaners in tennis. You know, like you know, somebody probably got in the mood. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're like, I've been to Lipton, I've been to the U.S. Open, right? I've been to a few tennis tournaments,
right?
You know, Steffi Graf. What was that? Well, one lady got stabbed.
Somebody got stabbed?
Yeah, on a court. I think it was at the U.S. Open.
Holy shit.
American girl.
I gotta look this up.
Sarasota, Florida, an outdoor professional tennis match came to a brief halt amid sounds of loud sex. Francis Tiafoe was about to serve to Mitchell Krueger during their Tuesday night match in the Sarasota Open when he paused and flashed a smile of disbelief over the sound of a woman moaning in pleasure. Broadcaster Mike Cathion initially described the sounds as coming from someone playing a pornographic video in the stands, but he later said that they were coming from an apartment nearby.
Yep.
Both players had fun with the situation while the crowd laughed. Krueger hit a ball sharply in the direction of the sounds. That would have been funny if it went up right at the guy's ass.
Yeah.
Screamed, "It can't be that good." Cation later saluted a responsible couple on Twitter, writing, "It sounds like you guys had a good time."
It sure did.
You know, one time the wife and I were in New York, and we're at the Flaht Hotel.
Okay.
It's a nice hotel, and it was really cool because the whole side of the hotel room was just windows. It's like a windowed building. So your whole side, but you can open up the windows, like, you know, kind of push them out.
Right.
And you can't go out, but you can open them out. It was really nice, and we got, you know.
You got it in.
I know. I'm sure there's neighborhoods in that borough that hurt us.
I have been once on a hotel really high up on the floor and big glass window overlooking the ocean, and I think that's one of my favorite ones because it's just like the sunset. Fucking light, like ocean horizon, and then, you know, making love. It's the best thing ever.
By the way, Tracy Young, I want to know if you've made wedding plans yet and make me the best man. I don't think I'm in the line for best man. Thanks, Tracy, though, for your vote.
Where do you see these comments? See, I'm not seeing
you're not
these.
Seeing comments?
No.
Well, you're not sure. I mean, I don't know.
So I'll find it.
All right, we got time for one more story. Let's see. Oh, we're going to close in this one.
Let's do it.
10 pounds of pot wrongly sent to a Pennsylvania pastor. Somebody made a contribution.
That's awesome.
In Yadin, Pennsylvania, police are trying to determine who shipped 10 pounds of marijuana from California to a pastor in Philadelphia suburbs. Now, you're wondering if the pastor saw it and whose is this? Oh, I don't know. Whose could this be?
How much was it?
10 pounds.
He's like, someone fucking mailed me 9 pounds.
Someone mailed me like 5 pounds of pot. I don't know what happened. The police in Yadin say that the drugs arrived Thursday in bundles stuffed into plastic buckets inside a cardboard box that was delivered by the United States Postal Service.
Wow.
It's about time they got something there. The package was sent from Sacramento, but the woman who received it as church pastor who tells authorities it wasn't meant for her.
Obviously.
Police believe someone else might have been instructed to watch for the package but failed to pick it up. Now, that's what they do when you're going to get a big weed.
Right.
You have it go somewhere else. Right. You say, I want it there the next morning by 10.
Right.
And so what that person does is you scout out a place and see that they get it at the doorstep, like a church. Nobody's going to walk into the church. Well, usually churches are open.
But even still, you can just have a broom in hand, walk up to the front really fast, intercept and be like out there sweeping, la, yeah. la, la. Oh, hey, well, oh, yep, that's me. I'm this person. Porch. Sign for it, and boom.
Yeah. Yeah,
walk away, you and your broom. Fuck it, leave the broom.
Yeah. Police Chief Donald Molyneux says the pastor is very upset and traumatized, so she smoked a pound herself. And afraid someone might come to her home looking for the drugs. Police are hoping the surveillance video from a drop-off location will identify who shipped the package. Mm. Now, I wonder if their plan was that, you know, that secure, that when they shipped it, they didn't just show up there with their an identity shirt and a plate, and like a license right. plate that's, you know, I'm the guy.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully they Ubered there.
Yeah.
Got dropped.
Well,
off.
Even Uber. Then, if an Uber car pulls up, they can know who you are by a record.
Right.
You don't want any of that.
Well, you got to go early. You got to be waiting. You can't show up when the UPS truck shows up.
You know exactly. You got to you show up. Make sure you know where all the cameras are. Look, we're talking about it like we're trying to tell you guys to do it. But if you do send it to us.
Well, what we're saying is, you know, you fucking plan it out right, and then send it to Danger Studios. Well, no, don't send it.
No, don't send it here, man.
Send it to Peter's house.
Yeah, send it to
Peter's
house.
We'll be outside and we'll have the broom.
We'll go visit him.
We're going to go sweep Peter's porch.
Yeah, we're going to go take care of Peter's porch. by the way, Joe Adams said, thanks, buddy. I'm back. And by the way, I want to tell our listeners that next week I'm going to be heading to Little Rock, Arkansas on late Tuesday. So we will have a show on Monday, unless you guys want to get together early on Tuesday somehow. I don't know if that's possible. We'll have a show for you guys. Then I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. So I might be bringing the Snowball with me and doing my own little shows and see what happens. But stay tuned for that. But that's all we have time for today here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Elgin David for joining us today.
Hey, man, it's always fun to be here, bro.
Good stuff. Don't forget, we're going to be heading to Marina 84 tonight in right off 84 and what's that, I-95?
I-95, yes.
Just get off that. It's just west of I-95 on 84. We'll be there tonight. And, of course, Wednesday night's Wise Guys Comedy Show. We got a great show, by the way, this week at Wise Guys Comedy Show. I'll be hosting. We have two headliners, basically. DJ Dangler. At a Boston area, who's going to be headlining the Key West Comedy Club on Thursday night. He's going to be here, and he's going to be opening up for the very funny Chris Cope, who is a winner of the Big Sky Mountain Comedy Festival contest. So that's going to be a great show. Just $10 at Tavolino's on Wednesday. Call 954-509-0046 or RSVP. It's a very funny show. I'm looking forward to that. Got no comedy this weekend. I'm excited to have a little regular weekend. And any ideas, let me know. But I'm going to do the nice thing with the wifey, take her out and do stuff.
You got to.
Because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks.
You got to, man.
I got, you know what I mean? I got, you know. So anyway, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And, of course, join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com for our website, for all archive site, patron page. Donate $1 a month. We appreciate it. Give these guys gas money for showing up at the studio. That would be really nice. But thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you here. Actually, we have a special show tomorrow.
Yeah? Who's going to be here?
Chris Cope and DJ Dangler.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be a comic sit-down with the comics here at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. So we'll be back tomorrow on Facebook Live, by the way, right around 5:30. So see us tomorrow. And like I have to say, we have to see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, the beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child.
journey of a thousand lifetimes.